Our gospel lesson today is Matthew 25, 31-46. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his Letters and Papers from Prison, wrote, "The church is the church only when it exists for others." These words of Jesus remind us why that is true. Today is the third mark of a vital church, outward focus. And Matthew 25 reminds us why this is so important. It's because reaching out in love is how we love Jesus. It's living out the great commandment to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. And just like we can't be a Christian all alone, we need the body of Christ, the church. The church can't be the church unless it has this outward focus, especially toward the least of these. The early church cared so well for those in need that literally thousands joined the church as a result of seeing such love in action. This is about doing love, not just saying it, but actually doing it whether you feel like it or not. This is also about being salt and light in this world, getting out there to preserve life and share the gospel. To let the light of Christ shine instead of keeping it to ourselves. Today we learn that when we go out and serve others, we're actually serving Jesus. And yet this is a hard story because it's not just about service, it's also about final judgment. And God judging us based on whether we served others. It's about God separating the sheep and the goats, for all eternity. In Jesus' day, shepherds routinely had mixed flocks of sheep and goats. But at night, they would separate the sheep from the goats, allowing the sheep to have the pasture, and the goats had to be brought in from the cold. Sheep were far more valuable than goats in Jesus' day. Maybe this is why Jesus uses these animals to describe judgment, because people could picture it. We think of God as a God of love and compassion, and that's true. But this story also reveals just how serious God is about us serving the least of these. It's not optional. It's not just something we do occasionally. We don't like to think about God's judgment, do we? I prefer to think about the love and mercy of God, but what if we find God's love and mercy in this passage? Because this is not just about how we treat others, it's about how God treats us. I was reading Pastor Lindsay Armstrong, who compared Matthew 25 to an annual wellness checkup at the doctor's office. We often avoid those because we don't like what we hear, right? But if we want to know how our relationship with God is doing, we should ask ourselves as individuals and as a church, how are we treating those in need? Are we apathetic? Are we too self-centered? Are we only focused on our own families or our own church? We all need this kind of wellness check for the soul. At the holidays, it's often easier to serve people in need. We adopt angels, we bring in gifts, we help fill Thanksgiving baskets. But what about year-round? And I'm not just talking about each of us alone, but as a church. How is our church focused outward? Do we make decisions based on helping the needy, sharing the gospel, serving those who are in trouble? Do we teach that we are all created in the image of God and God is our neighbor in the hungry, the sick, the immigrant, the prisoner? William Temple, Archbishop of Canterbury in the late 1880s, said the church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. Think about that. So often we think about outreach as a way to get church members. But that is not the point, according to Jesus. We reach out and serve to love God and neighbor, regardless of whether people ever come inside the church. Now we might ask, what about helping those inside the church? Well, of course we need to do that. It's just that we tend to be focused too much on the insiders, and Jesus wants us to remember those on the outside of our walls. That's a real problem, because as humans, we tend to prefer to help those closest to us as opposed to a stranger. There's a term for this. It's called the proximity factor. Basically, we prefer to help people we know, not those we don't. Family is often our reference point for this, or church family. But what if these words of Jesus expand our definition of family? There's a theologian, Ada Maria Izazi Diaz, who suggests that we refer to the kingdom of God that Jesus preached as the kingdom of God. She writes, kingdom makes it clear that when the fullness of God becomes a day-to-day reality in the world at large, we will all be brothers and sisters, siblings, kin to each other. We will indeed be the family of God. Now that is powerful. The kingdom of God means we're all family, we're all kin. And if we think of everyone as a brother or sister, then serving the least of these takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it? So what does serving the least of these look like? How and where can you reach out, even when no one is looking? There's a story of a small Jewish town where a rabbi disappears each Friday morning for several hours, and his devoted disciples boast that during those hours, their rabbi must go to heaven and talk to God. A stranger moves into town, and he's skeptical about all this, so he decides to check things out. He hides and watches. The rabbi gets up in the morning, says his prayers, and then dresses in peasant clothes. He grabs an axe, goes off into the woods, cut firewood, which he then hauls to a shack on the outskirts of their village, where an old woman and her son, who is sick, live. He leaves them the wood, enough for a week, and then sneaks back home. Having observed the rabbi's actions, the newcomer stays in the village and becomes his disciple. And whenever he hears one of the villagers say, "On Friday morning, our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven," the newcomer quietly adds, "if not higher." How do we follow that example of just serving without expecting any praise or anything in return? And how do we discern which people to help? Well, Jesus says the only criteria is whether they are needy, not whether they are deserving or grateful or happy to receive help. Think about that. This is just about seeing the dignity and value of those in need and treating them as children of God, made in God's image, even those who don't or can't love us back. There is nothing in this passage about their response, only our actions. It's a just do it kind of message. We just love without expecting anything in return, which can bring up another question. Is this about earning our salvation? Is Jesus saying that by helping the needy, we will enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, consider this part of the story. Both the sheep and the goats are surprised by the Lord's words. They can't believe that the Lord was the one to be found in all those needy people. "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, naked or in prison?" And the king says, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me." In other words, the ones who served didn't do it for morality points or expect anything in return. They weren't trying to earn their salvation. They didn't even realize it was God they were serving. It was just an act of love. So, my friends, God is all around us. In a homeless person or a woman on the side of the road holding a help sign, in a person who is sick or in need of clothing or food, even a prisoner. And what if there's even more to the least of these? What about seeing God in the person who is most annoying at work or school? What about serving the person who is never grateful or who is totally unkind? What if this story is also about finding God in the most unexpected people and places? Who would that be for us today? How many people right beside us are hungry for meaning and hope? How many strangers need to be welcomed? How many people are thirsty for purpose or feel unwell in their minds or emotions? How many are struggling with pain or addiction or loneliness and are imprisoned by that pain? I'm not saying that Jesus wants us to avoid those who are literally hungry or naked, sick or in prison. We need to serve them. But can't we open our eyes to see everyone in need around us? How is our church doing that? Because sometimes the needy are sitting beside us at church, walking beside us at the grocery store, maybe even at our own holiday table. What if the least of these we meet in ordinary daily life? I met a person this week who was so eager to hear Bible verses, she had not heard them before, and it was such a gift to her. Who are those in need around you? And what about those suffering, especially after this pandemic? Do we realize that suicide is a leading cause of death in this country? A recent Surgeon General announced that loneliness is a major public health crisis on par with heart disease or cancer, because loneliness is associated with an increased risk of heart disease, stroke, premature death, and violence. Are we paying attention to people who are isolated or depressed? Researcher Aaron Kiriati wrote about a man in his 30s who died by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, as more than 1,000 other people have done. After his death, his psychiatrist went with the medical examiner to the man's apartment where they found his diary, and the last entry, written just hours before he died, said this: "I'm going to walk to the bridge. If one person smiles at me on the way, I will not jump." Are we paying attention? Do we lift our eyes and offer a kind greeting to everyone we encounter? So often we don't. In contrast, in the tribes of Northern Natal in South Africa, there's a common greeting equivalent to hello in English, Sawubona. It literally means, "I see you." And if you're a member of the tribe, you would usually reply by saying, "Sikona, I am here." Why? It's because when you see me, that's when I exist. In the book, Next Door, As It Is in Heaven, is this powerful statement: "When we merely move throughout our days without seeing people as people, then as far as it matters to us in that moment, they really don't exist. But being conscious of how we approach people we encounter through the normal routines of our day is a step toward bringing heaven here on our patch of earth." Don't we want to bring heaven to our patch of earth? What if that's the point of Jesus' parable? We need to pay attention. We need to truly see one another and reach out whenever we feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit urging us to call, write, stop by, or simply listen to someone who's hurting. We are people who love. We are salt and light. And hopefully we are always looking outward. Friends, the good news of the gospel today is found in Matthew 25. Whenever we love the least of these, we love Jesus. May this body of Christ be people who always reach out. And to that, all God's people can say together, Amen.